Philippians. And one of the cool things about this sermon series is we're just taking God's word and letting it speak. We're picking up where we left off and finding these little gems, these little tidbits where God can speak into our lives. And so today, one of the things that we're going to find in this text is a topic of choices. Choices we make. And so I'm going to start by talking about a choice I once had to make. And this choice came when I was a sophomore in college. I was 19, about to be 20. And my choice was, what am I going to do with my summer? And the first option was to continue as I had always been doing. The past 5 years or so, I had been working for my great uncle and basically landscaping his property. He had several acres, and he always had a project, building a retaining wall, planting a row of trees to block his neighbors out, something like that. And I loved this job. There were a lot of perks. It kept me in shape. It paid pretty well. And probably the best thing was the flexible hours. Because it was my great uncle and he was kind of waiting on me to do his projects for him, I could take a week off if I needed one for a family vacation, or I could take a morning off if I had a doctor's appointment or something like that. And for a college kid, a summer job usually does not have that kind of flexibility. Usually it's a rigid and sometimes random schedule that you kind of just have to put your life aside for. So I had the ability to see my friends and family in this job, and I was pretty happy with it, and I wasn't really looking for something else. But then option two came along, and it kind of fell in my lap. Some of my friends at Truman State University were trying to convince me and recruit me to work at the Lutheran summer camp just outside St. Louis. And they kept pushing and they kept pushing, but on paper, the choice was obvious. All the things I loved about my current job, getting paid well, the flexibility, seeing my friends and family, none of those were present at this other job. First of all, it didn't pay very well. They couldn't. And secondly, it was about the least flexible hours you could imagine. From Sunday at 12:30 to Friday at 8 p.m., you'd be on the clock. And I think you got an hour break each day where someone would come and relieve you, so you weren't responsible for the kids you had that week. So needless to say, you didn't really get to see your friends and family very much. And so as I was looking at those two options, at first glance, it seemed pretty obvious. But yet, there was just this part of me that kind of always romanticized about the idea of being a summer camp counselor. I loved working with kids. I loved being outside and fishing and camping and all the sports you get to play at a summer camp. And so there was part of me that wanted to do it. And then I thought about how I'd get to share my faith and work for the bigger picture. And I was a little more drawn to it, but still, not making very much money and giving up my entire summer was kind of a downside. So I was still pretty much leaning to keeping things as they were. But then my friends, they made one last-ditch effort. They said, the camp director, he's coming to Truman. He's going to interview a few people. Just go talk to him. Just see what he has to say. It won't commit you to anything. And I was like, all right, that's reasonable. So I scheduled the interview, and I was going to talk to the camp director. And a funny thing happened. Because I was not worried, because I didn't really care if I got the job. If I didn't, that would just be my answer. I went into the interview especially relaxed. And this funny thing happens when you go into an interview relaxed. You do well. And so they offered me the job. And while going through that interview, I found myself getting more excited about the possibility of working at this camp. As he would ask me, what would you do in this situation? Or how would you approach this? I got excited about the possibility of doing this. And so after that interview, with the job offered and me more excited, I really had a choice to make. I was torn between these two options, both good things, and I just couldn't decide. And it took me several weeks to actually make this decision. Now, I'm sure you're all curious what I decided to do, so I'll tell you, even though this isn't the point of the sermon. I chose camp. And it was truly a blessing, and God molded me and formed me through that experience. I think it was that experience that was one of the big factors in me going to seminary, and that obviously led me right here, and I'm really thankful that God used that experience. But what I really want to talk about is this choice-making process, how I was caught between two things that were both good things, and I had to choose one. And as we get into our text today in Philippians, we see St. Paul dealing with something where he's choosing between two things, where he's torn between two things. And it's different here. What St. Paul is torn between is life on earth and life in heaven. And we see him. Here's our highlight verse, first of all. It's, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Now, that doesn't make any sense, but we'll talk about it later. But then Paul goes on. Because here he's clearly saying, to live is Christ. Obviously, that's a good thing. You know, we may not know what it means yet, but it's a good thing. And to die is gain. Another good thing. And he goes on and says, "For which shall I choose? I cannot tell. I am hard-pressed between the two." You see, here, St. Paul, he's stuck. He's choosing between these two things, life on earth and life in heaven with Jesus Christ. And he's saying both are good things. Now, as we see later in our text, well, actually, let me back up a second. First of all, this choice is different than the one I talked about earlier. It's not a physical choice. Paul's not literally asking, should I choose to die or choose to go to heaven? All right. Stay on earth, sorry. You know what I'm saying. Instead, it's choosing where his focus is going to be. Choosing whether his focus will be on life here on earth, the here and the now, the worries of this life, service of Christ in this life, or whether he's going to focus on heaven, on that reward that Christ had already earned for him. And as he goes on through the text, you see that he's not really stating that he must choose one, but rather his focus must be simultaneously on both, that you can't separate them, that both have to be present. And for us as Christians in the Christian life, that's the tension we live in, living with our focus simultaneously on heaven and on our work here on earth. But you see, the thing is, that's a lot easier said than done. To simultaneously focus on heaven and on life here on earth, that's hard, and we often find ourselves failing to do that, because usually we have a preference. We have a preference in our focus, either looking towards heaven or looking right here at our life on earth. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about the two different ways we can mess this up. But the first one I'm going to talk about is, I think, the one that most of us have, the mistake most of us make. And I'm going to do an illustration to point this out, and I'm going to use this rope. And I just thought about how I did this illustration once on Vicarage, and I had my rope sitting. The sanctuary was a little different, so the rope was kind of visible in the corner, and one of the ladies tried to clean it up before service. And we had to put a stop to that. But anyway, so look at this rope, and imagine this rope goes on forever. Goes out the door, goes down Webb Bridge, onto Old Milton, gets on the highway. It just goes, wraps around the world a couple times. It's infinite, okay? And now imagine this rope is a timeline of your existence, okay? We know from the Bible and God's Word that we are infinite beings. Our souls will last forever, and eventually our bodies will be resurrected and live in the new earth. And so our timeline of our existence is infinite. Now take a look at this little pink piece in my hand. This piece represents your time here on earth. You get a few short years here, and then the rest of eternity somewhere else. Now, we as Christians, we know where this will be. Paul's talking about it in our text. This will be heaven because Jesus Christ has earned it for us. So we have that to look forward to. But doesn't that put it in perspective? You get these few short years here, and then everything else is heaven with Jesus Christ. But the weird thing is that even though we know that and we can say that, so many of us, all we do is focus on this little portion. We totally forget about all of this. How often do we make every decision we possibly can based on this little portion? We work really hard here so we can get good grades, so we can get into a good school and get a great job here, so that we can make a lot of money through this portion, so that we can save it and really enjoy our retirement right here. And then we forget about all this. So many of us, we live our lives as if this doesn't exist, and as if everything is contained in this little pink piece of our timeline. And a couple things can and do happen when we forget to look towards heaven. First of all, our anxieties, they seem to increase. Because think about it. If you've got a problem here and you're only thinking about this portion, it's a much bigger deal, isn't it? But if you've got a problem for a little portion of this and you're looking at it in the whole grand scheme of things, it's not as big of a deal. When you know what you have ahead, that perfection, that sin-free, pain-free life we have ahead of us, this perfect paradise, it doesn't make that little problem here seem as significant. Secondly, sometimes when we only think about this, we become self-serving. We forget to serve God and to do things for others. When this is all it is, and we don't think about what's next, what's already been earned for us, we oftentimes make all our decisions to please ourselves in this little bubble. And thirdly, and most dangerously, and this doesn't happen to everyone, thankfully, but sometimes it can, when we forget to look to heaven, sometimes we forget about God completely. Some people lose sight of him and decide that this is all there is, and they don't need to worry about this, and they've lost trust and possibly lost that gift from Jesus Christ. There is danger in not thinking about heaven, either in these things like us being more anxious and not serving, or that terror of us losing trust in him completely. And that's part of what Paul is talking about today, how we need to keep our eyes fixed on heaven. We can't forget about that. But I mentioned there's another mistake we can make. Some people, that's not their problem. Some people, their problem isn't just looking at this life. Some people err on the other side. They forget about this life, and they're only looking at heaven. That actually is what was going on with Paul in this passage. He was tempted to do this. Why? Because his life wasn't going that well. He was stuck in prison as he wrote this letter. He was being persecuted. He was sick. He knew his death was near. And part of him is saying, I just am ready to go. And this happens to a lot of us when life isn't going our way. It especially happens, or I see it the most, with older people, people who are shut into their homes, who have their spouse already gone. They just ask, what is my purpose? Why is God still keeping me here? I'm just ready to go home. And again, there's some problems when we think this way. We often resign, we give up, and we forget to serve others. We just don't do anything. And again, Paul, he is choosing not to do this, not to just give up and wait for heaven, but instead to stay invested, to keep his focus on both things at once. So, with all that said, what is it we need to be doing? What is it that we are called to do as Christians? Now, you don't have fill-in-the-blank sermon notes here, but if there's one thing you're going to write down, I want you to write this down. We are called to embrace the tension. Now, what do I mean by that? First of all, what I don't mean. I don't mean tension in the definition of emotional strain or mental stress. That's not what we're talking about. Rather, tension as a force that holds two things together, that holds two things in place. Think of the tension on a cable that holds a suspension bridge up, that keeps that bridge right where it needs to be. That is the kind of tension I am talking about, the force needed to hold your ground. Now, the Christian life, it involves quite a few tensions, quite a few places where we must find the balance, where we must hold our ground, and even on two seemingly opposing ideas from outside the Christian church, maybe. Just think of a few of these real quick. First of all, we have to understand that we are simultaneously saints and sinners. Sinners in that we are unable to do anything truly according to God's will, and we are constantly sinning. But saints, because we are constantly redeemed by his grace and his blood, and in God's eyes, we are blemishless. And what about our call to love the sinner but hate the sin? Finding that middle point, holding that tension, that's hard. And what about understanding that we are saved by faith apart from works, but yet the Bible still tells us that faith without works is dead? Still making works important even though Christ saves us apart from works. Another tension we must hold. And today, we are talking about embracing another tension in the Christian life. This tension of simultaneously being focused on heaven and on earth, because that is what we are called to do. We are not here for no reason. God has us here for a purpose. And so let's go back to that highlight verse. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What does that mean? Well, to while you're on earth, while you're living, your purpose, your joy, and your hope, it's all in Christ. We need to make sure we are living for Christ. That is what St. Paul is saying. That is how he's keeping his focus here, because he's living for Christ and not for himself. And then when he dies, he's going to gain the world. He's going to live in that place where sin no longer separates him from God. And again, that is a good thing, and that is the ultimate goal. What Paul is explaining that we should do in our lives is always have our eyes on heaven. We can't lose that. We can't lose the fact that Christ has already earned that for us. But while we keep our eyes fixed on heaven, while we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, we can't forget that he has work for us to do here. Things for us to do to honor him and to bring other people to heaven with us. That is living torn between two things. That is life embracing the tension. Now to close, I want to share a story. A story about a woman who embraced the tension in her life. And this woman's circumstances were very much like the people I talked about earlier who sometimes only focus on heaven. She was old, she was sick, she was alone, and she was in the hospital the last days of her life. And in this hospital, she confided in the nurses, and she told them that she just didn't understand what God was keeping her around for. She just didn't understand what her purpose was. She didn't have any kids, her husband was gone, no real connections left in the world, and she was honestly just ready for Christ to take her home. But she didn't give up. She didn't lose her focus. And instead, she trusted in Jesus. She prayed, and she did the best she could. She smiled. She asked people how their day was. And she waited. And Christ, he did eventually call her home. After about 3 weeks in that hospital, she went home to be with Jesus Christ. And it wasn't until a funeral a few weeks later where it was really obvious what God was doing through her those last few weeks where she didn't understand. Because at that funeral, there were a dozen doctors, nurses, and hospital staff in attendance. And as they told the pastor, they had seen something they wanted in this woman. A life full of peace and hope instead of a life full of fear. A woman whose circumstances said she should be terrified, but instead she was filled with hope. A woman who didn't give up. A woman who continued to serve and love, even in a circumstance that from the world's perspective said she should be sad. And so God was working through her. Even though that woman would never know what God was doing in her life, God was using her to bring more people into his loving arms. She was ready to go home. Like Paul was as he wrote this letter, he was ready to go home. But she chose not to give up. She chose to live her life torn between the two. She chose to keep her life focused on heaven while not forgetting to do God's work here. She chose to live as we are all called to do, to make Christ the center of the joy in our lives, the purpose in our lives, and the hope we have. She chose to embrace the tension. Amen.